All right, guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard, and John Barbin's on the phone. And John, we've been getting a couple of questions about legs and building legs and, you know, AI and proportions. And I know you kind of wanted to talk about proportions today because we've been, you know, kind of skating around this for a while now. We haven't came back and talked about it, but it's kind of one of the most important things, you know, pertaining to the way we're looking to do things. So I think it's important we touch base on that and kind of bring it back home to what's really the look and the stuff that we're after, because I think people are starting to kind of lose focus on this overall goal, because, you know, we've been talking about building muscle as a process. We've been talking about losing fat as a process, but now we need to bring all this stuff back together and kind of get back into the proportions, which is realistically what we're all about.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that was the whole point in the first place, right? I mean, people lose sight of it so quickly, like you just said. Like bodybuilders, everybody. It's way back when you just start working out. You probably have and before you start reading a lot about it, and before you start getting into dieting and getting into, like, set and rep schemes and learning about, reading about different ways to work out, I think you might... Right at the beginning, we probably have the purest idea of what we're after and probably the clearest idea. We kind of already know. We just want to be bigger. We want, like, you know, chest, arms. We want, you know, we want to look better in the mirror. And, you know, it's not actually that hard to figure out. And then, like, along the way, we get all tangled up and we start worrying about, like, what kind of lifts we should be doing and you know, does strength matter, and, you know, and getting into, like, core training, and then is there specific types of training? Like, we just get lost along the way, and it was like, why did you even start all this in the first place? It was only ever to look better. It wasn't to be, you know, a championship deadlifter. It wasn't meant to be, like, bench pressing double your body weight. Like, all these things people get caught up in, that's not the reason anyone ever started training. It was just to look better. Like, that, right. that was all it ever was. So looking better was something to do with proportions. It wasn't having a giant midsection with skinny arms. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I'm pretty sure no one emulated the powerlifter over in the corner who has, like, massive quads, enormous butt, huge thick midsection, but, like, average looking arms. Like, I'm pretty and, you know, not a really big chest. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not what we thought of when we were younger, and we're like, okay, I'm working out, like, I'm building muscle. I'm pretty sure we didn't want to just shape ourselves into barrels. Like, mm-hmm. we already had in our head the classic V taper. Like, right. You know, for lack of a, like, Schwarzenegger's look, but just not so freaking huge. Mm-hmm. And that's what everyone was thinking, you know, well, most guys anyways. And so that's all we're talking about. We're just talking about doing that. And we gotta take a step back when we're getting caught up in, like, specific exercises and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You know, we've been getting comments on the blog and stuff, and I remember Clement's post, and he was asking me, and, you know, obviously asking you as well, talking about trying to attach certain performance goals to being quote unquote in shape, and he kind of put up the proposition that maybe, you know, you should be able to run a mile and a half so fast and have this much of a vertical jump and be able to do so many pull-ups. And the problem with that, when you start attaching performance-based stuff, is that, well, for one, like you said before, you know, performance-based things in general are very specific to that specific performance. So, like, for me, and I kind of explained it on the blog, for me, I mean, I've always been a fast guy. I've always been able to jump. Like, the other day, I was at the gym, and when he put that post up, I just wanted to see where I was at, because I haven't done hardly any legs lately, and I haven't done any type of sprint training or anything at all. And I wanted to see, you know, just how high I could jump from a standstill. And I just, from vertical, went up and I could touch the rim. And so I've always been like that. And so for me, like, let's say if vertical jump was this thing that you measured to see if you were in better shape. Well, for me, it'd be unfair compared to everybody else, because all I would have to do is for a month, train legs and jump a lot. And I would be, my vertical would increase dramatically, just because it would just get back to where it was.
You know, all that, but all that is showing somebody how much you've done jump training. Like, who cares?
Sure. Right. And then so the next thing is, while I'm doing jump training, where's my focus on the other stuff?
Yeah. You brought this up the best. It's like, how much time in a day and where are you going to like, where are you going to focus it? And people get caught up on that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, how many hours are you going to spend doing cardio and HIIT training, and how much is that going to take away from the time you spend building muscle?
Right.
So it's, you got to kind of prioritize what you want to do, and then you almost have to view that other stuff. Like, if you are going to do jump training, it's like sort of, where is your priority, and does that come in sort of secondary?
Sure.
And so to me, it's just still all about the proportions. It's not about being as heavy as possible. Because otherwise your goal would be is having the biggest legs possible.
Sure.
If you only had the choice to train upper body or lower body, like let's say for some odd reason, you were only allowed to. You lived in some weird culture where you were only allowed to train upper or lower body, and your goal was to be as heavy as possible. Well, then you would just train legs, because there's slightly more muscle mass in your legs than your upper body. It's skewed about 52% to your lower body. So if you're just trying to build as much muscle as possible, all you'd ever do is train legs. And that, you know, and you can see that lack of proportion in athletes whose sport is a leg dominant sport, a power leg dominant sport. So like cyclists, skiers, hockey players, soccer players, to some degree rugby players, a lot of them have like a leg dominant physique where they have big quads and big butts, and in clothes, they kind of look a bit chunky, not really fat, but they just look blocky and square because they have big pants, and they have it almost gives the illusion of a really thick waist. And it dominates their upper bodies in a lot of cases. So they have a smaller looking upper body. Their upper body could be pretty big. It could even be ideal for their height, but if their legs are big enough and their butt's big enough, it'll take away from that upper body look, and you won't actually have as good of a taper as Adonis index ratio, shoulder to waist ratio, as you could have, because your legs are just taking away from the look. And most of us aren't walking around in like posing trunks, so you're always kind of considering your look in clothes as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you have big legs and butt, you're going to have big pants, and you're just going to look thick on the lower end, and it's always going to take away from your upper body look. Now, I'm not saying don't train legs. I'm just saying the goal for leg training shouldn't be, at least to me, isn't to just max out as big as you can get your legs. Like, that kind of doesn't really make sense. I put the blog post up. Maybe we should, on this one, I'll link to it as well. But and it was a comparison between a modern bodybuilder and Arnold. And it was basically Arnold versus Ronnie standing side by side. And their upper bodies are similar, but Arnold's legs look in more proportion, whereas Ronnie's are just huge. They're huge. And if you actually just stop and look at his legs for a second, they look completely bizarre. And I think it detracts from his overall look. So, and I don't think it's the type of, now I get the fact that they're both on steroids, but I'm still just trying to make the comparison of a different mindset of training. Whereas Ronnie's trying to max out every ounce of muscle on his entire body, and Arnold was looking more for an actual specific shape. Cause he could have easily built his legs as big as Ronnie's if he just kept training them harder and heavier, but he obviously realized that was going to take away from his look.
Sure. You know what's funny? It's just kind of going back to the performance thing. I was just thinking about this. You know, there's kind of a discontinuity between what the things that a lot of guys will say. Like, the first thing the guys will talk about is, you know, I want to gain as much muscle mass, or when they say muscle mass, they're thinking weight as possible. But then, you know, they'll come back and say that we should judge based on performance-based goals. But the problem with that is that most performance-based goals are going to be based on how light you are.
Oh, for sure. Running, jumping, any body.
Pull-ups, yeah.
Strength versus pound-for-pound strength, like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, performance-based goals are usually body weight dependent. Well, they have to be. It can't just be overall strength, because the heaviest guys will be the strongest.
Right. Yeah, so, in general, most of the time. But that's what I was thinking.
Well, I mean, the heaviest weight classes, right? They just lift a bit more weight because they're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Like taller, right? You'd need to even relate it to height. But that's what we're getting at. It's just all proportion.
Sure. I mean, you'd have to come up with some type of performance-based metric that was dependent on weight. Because let's say if you were going to do pull-ups, right? Well, the guy that weighs 220 is going to have to work. I mean, the chance of him being able to do, let's say, 20 pull-ups versus the guy who's 150 able to do 20 pull-ups. I mean, how long would it take for each person to be able to do 20? Like, how long would they have to train at the same body weight? I would think the guy at 150 would have a much better chance of getting to 20 pull-ups if they only did pull-up training, right?
Oh, exactly. So that's why it has to be a body weight dependent, and probably, you know, it's probably like a height thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably, you could, if you actually came up with some sort of calculation, it would have to be something including height and body weight. But typically, body weight takes care of that, because you can't just be like a short guy can't be as heavy as a tall guy at the same body fat percentage.
Sure.
Like, they can weigh the same, but that just means a short guy's like super fat. But if given the same body fat percentage, the tall guy's just always going to weigh more, because there's just so much more mass on a taller person.
Sure.
But power wise, like actually being able to generate force, the short guy's probably at an advantage for certain things. Like, mm-hmm. it's because of levers and like basically how long your arms are and where the muscles insert. That's kind of like why the mid-size powerlifters are like super strong, because they, like, the bench press distance isn't that far. Like, they don't have really long arms, so they kind of, like, there's this sweet spot of, like, body dimensions, and it's usually the 198-pound weight class where the guys are, like, you know, 5'7"-ish, and they're pretty thick, and, like, the squat, the bench, and the dead all work pretty well for them, and their levers are pretty good for it. But when you get really tall guys, they kind of, like, seem to come out of – they're a little bit out of proportion, a little bit too long to be super powerful. And then the really short guys – it gets to the point where their hands are too small to even handle like really heavy deadlifts and things like that. So it's somewhere in that, like, shorter than an average guy, but not too short. About 5'6", 5'7", is about where, like, it seems to be that the really, really powerful guys for their body weight are.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I was just thinking about this too. It's funny how things just pop in my mind, especially when we were talking about, you know, arm lengths and things like that. If you think about it, if I say, that, let's say there's a shorter guy and he comes up to me and say, and he lifts more than I does.
Here we go.
Yeah, exactly. He lifts more than I do. And he comes up to me and says, that just proves I'm stronger than you. But if you really think about it, does it really? Because if strength is based on the muscle contraction, and the muscle contraction is based on, basically, it's not really based on, how much you lift isn't necessarily based on, the force, it's based on the force of the muscle, but it's also based on the moment of inertia of the arms. So basically how far out the arms go. So you could have a muscle that's technically stronger than another one.
Oh, it's there, bigger, yeah, guy. There's multiple factors. It's like, yeah. It's distribution of muscle fibers, which more or less are similar, but they are slightly different from person to person and from race to race. Like certain groups of people are just in, they just already have more fast twitch muscle fiber, so you're already behind the eight ball. And then it's some a little bit to do with genetic, just slight variances in insertion points of the muscles. Like, they all basically insert. When I say insert, that just means when the muscle tapers into a tendon then inserts into the bone. Clearly all humans have them inserting in basically the same spot, but if that insertion point's just a few millimeters one direction or another, that could totally change the biomechanics of how much more powerful that insertion point is. And so that kind of could make the same size muscle more powerful because it's inserting slightly further down the bone. And just different things like that. So if we had unlimited supply of money in a physiology lab and could measure all of this across thousands of people, we could probably come up with a formula for the size of the muscle versus the length of the bone versus where it inserts in the bone, and come up with an equation to figure out how much stronger one guy could be from another guy just based on how he's built.
Oh,
and that's,
good.
You know, without having a lab, you can just see that in the gym. You just see some guys who just can crank out more weight than another guy. And it's usually just – it's not because he trains any harder if they both train really hard. It's just – he's just built a little bit better for that particular exercise.
Yeah, I mean, well, it makes total sense. I mean, when you start getting into like
– it just becomes physics.
Yeah, when you start getting into not force, but start getting into what it really is, which is basically moments of inertia and things like that. When you start measuring things in foot pounds and newton meters instead of just in pounds of force or, you know, newtons of force and things like that. I mean, you know, 1 inch, which you wouldn't think would be a lot, but could increase, you know, the decrease in an inch in somebody's arm length.
Oh, it can change everything. It's like trying to open a door by pushing on it over by the handle or pushing on it over by the hinge. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to generate massive amounts of force to open the door at the hinge, but if you push at the handle, it's way easier.
Sure. That's why pitchers, like most pitchers, have longer arms and they're taller because they can generate more of that moment of inertia at the very top. Mm. You know, they can whip it around. That's basically it. You very rarely see, I mean, like Roy Oswalt out of Houston is one example of a guy that's 6 foot or under that throws 90 plus miles an hour. And if they do, the guys that are that short, they usually burn out fast.
Oh,
those
yeah.
guys usually, yeah. they usually have a lot of problems. But it's the tall guys. I remember when I was in high school, man, there was a guy that was the lankiest dude you've ever seen in my life. I mean, you've really ever seen. He's probably about 6'3", 6'4". His name was Monte. And this guy threw heat, man. It was probably 94. And he had no muscle on him at all. It was all technique and all basic, you know, how much inertia he or that type of, you know, moment of inertia he could bring around. You know, obviously he wouldn't be able to do as many push-ups as anybody on the team. He would lose that. Same thing with squats. He would lose that. But he was just so long, he was able to generate that much, you know, coming across that he could throw 94.
Yep. So, yeah. So that's why performance metrics kind of are irrelevant.
Right. Yeah.
It's just how you look. I mean, like we said, because that's what people kept asking us for, like strength measurements, and they do correlate a bit, but it really matters, like your somatotype, meaning are you like ecto, meso, or endo, your training history, like, and then all this kind of stuff, like are your arms slightly longer for your body, we don't know what your sort of genetic insertion points look like, if they're a little bit favorable one way or another, so it's. I mean, there's going to be a range of strength that most guys are at for their given height when they're at a 1.6 shoulder to waist ratio, but it's a range. It's not going to be right on the button. That's why right. I'd rather people measure the aggregate of all their strength and not just one particular lift. Also, it matters if you just keep lifting in one pattern or not. So if you just do a lot of bench press, you're just going to be good at bench press. It doesn't mean you're going to look a particular way. It mm-hmm. just means you'll be good at that one lift. But if you look at all of your lifts, like all the different lifts you do, and as all of them increase, that's a better indicator of where you are in general as far as muscle mass goes.
Sure.
And so, again, then this all comes back to proportions. Like, it was the goal to just have a big chest because you bench press a lot without having anything else proportioned to it.
Mm-hmm.
And this also gets to a thread that was in the forum was really cool, was talking about clothes and how to dress and how to show your, you know, if you've got a good ratio, how do you show it off? And then it kind of got into, you know, clothes is a big deal. You spend most of your life wearing them, so you might as well. And if there's no point in hiding what you've accomplished, so how do we go about like showing that off? So it's a good conversation about having like shirts tailored and tapered, and you know, so they fit the. I find that anything that fits in the shoulder, back, and chest area is always sort of too big in the waist area. And mm-hmm. I've actually found a couple of shirts that are more tapered. But it actually sometimes you just have to have it tailored too, just so it doesn't look like a tent around your waist. And that's kind of a sad statement that's how shirts are built. Like the standard right. average shirt, if you don't really go looking for something good or have it tailored, is just made for a guy with a lousy index.
Right.
And suits are really bad. Like if you go looking for a suit, cause I was looking around for suits and the guy's like, oh yeah, suits aren't, the guy at the store is like, suits are designed. They're not designed for people with any kind of shoulder taper to their waist. They're like the average business guy just has a huge gut. So
yeah, it's just a block look or not a rectangular look, so to say, I guess.
Oh yeah. And so the difference from pant size to shoulder size was it was really close. Like the ratio was horrible. So, you know, I was looking at some suits. So whatever fit me in the chest and in the shoulders would have had me in just an enormous pant. And he's like, you can't even shop for a suit this way. You actually have to. So I found he actually showed me a brand of suits that are specific for quote athletic people. That's just what they call it. And it's, you can mix and match pant size and jacket size, so it is a uniform suit. Like it's the suit, the jacket and the pants go together, but it's not a single suit. It's like a range of pant sizes and a range of jacket sizes all in the mm-hmm. one model of suit, and then you just piece together the one you want. And even from there, the jacket still had to be taken in.
Right. Yeah, I mean, makes total sense to me. I mean, that's it's just, like I say, it's just kind of interesting how that seems to work out nowadays, because like when I got fitted for a tux for a wedding not too long ago, and it was a bitch to be I can't think of any other way to put it. I mean, it was like some things would fit in the shoulders, but then, you know, it fit in the shoulders, but it poofed out so much in the shirt and the coat that it was just ridiculous. But there was nothing I could do, you know, because it's just a regular suit rental place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was too much you can mix and match, because these things are just built for, you know, like normal everyday people that, like you were saying, don't do any working out or anything. So yeah. In all the wedding pictures, I look huge.
Yeah. And this is part. Yeah. Yeah. And then that's the thing. It's like, you know, so you're not fat, but the clothes kind of just wash out your ratio. And then you just kind of look like a cylinder or something. And you know, women's clothes do a lot better job than that, because it's kind of more socially acceptable for women to wear tight stuff. And women, as soon as they're in a good shape, they immediately wear tight stuff. Then they stop wearing tight stuff when they don't have a shape that they want. But guys, it's like more of a fine line. Like, you kind of look like an idiot if you have, like, if you're wearing really tight clothes. Like, it just looks stupid on a guy. But it doesn't mean you can't wear stuff that fits closer. It just can't, you just don't wear it, like, tight. It kind of looks stupid if you're out with like a skin tight Under Armour shirt on, or those, you know, it doesn't look right. But you don't wear like what you just said, something that's so puffy that it hides your shape. So it's the idea of wearing something that's more like just form fitted, and because that's the whole point. The whole point is to show off what, you know, kind of the ratio that you have.
Well, yeah, it's funny now, because like before I'd wear like extra large T-shirts, but now I'm finding that realistically I should probably be in mediums. Which is really strange.
Yeah, I wear a medium.
Yeah, I mean,
and some guys are just like, oh, you know, like I remember the you know, when university, we'd be like, oh, you're small if you wear anything below an extra large. That's somehow an identity, or like you're less of a dude or something. But my shoulders and arms and chest size hasn't changed. It's just like my waist has gone way down, so it looks stupid for me to be wearing an XL. It's just like an XL still fits me up top, but it's just huge everywhere else. So
it's just amazing to me how much muscle I don't have compared to what I thought I did have. Basically, what was fat and what wasn't.
Well, it's but measured as by what? By like circumferences or weight?
Both.
Right.
Both. I mean, like I say, I mean, Like, since I've been dropping, I mean, my shoulders have went down a little bit. I mean, we're not talking a lot. I think maybe an inch or so. Mm-hmm. But you know, my waist has went down, I mean, dramatically, almost 7 inches now. So it's just funny, just kind of looking, and you're like, wow, man, that's that much weight is gone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 35 pounds of weight gone. And at least 50% of that, I assumed was going to be muscle mass.
None of it is. If you've been weight training, none of it is. That's the thing. People, I don't know how we'll ever get this through people's heads, but muscle is made like, is mostly water, right? It's like 80% water. The rest of it is. The actual protein part of the muscle is very little. It's like 20%. So I don't, it's not even that. It's actually a bit less, but like, so when you're going up and down in muscle mass, so to speak, it's mostly just filling, or it's like, you know, it's, I keep saying this is a water balloon analogy. All you're doing is filling or emptying the balloon, so to speak. Over time is when you lay down a bit more protein, like over years. And that's kind of why, like, if you're an experienced lifter over time, and you take a layoff from the gym and then you work out again, you can like reinflate your muscles back to their fullest size. It's not like you go back to before you started training. So, sure. So muscle mass muscles never go anywhere. They're always there. It's just how inflated they are. And I guess the way you inflate them and over time build them and keep them built is just consistent training.
Yeah, it's funny because
it's not like putting bricks on a pile and taking bricks off. It's an inflation sort of thing.
It's like we were talking about earlier, and beginning comments about people you know, just asking how come we're not afraid of losing muscle mass when we go down in calories so much. And, you know, I just kind of made the comment that I've always noticed that I could take 4 weeks, or not 4 weeks, like 4 months or more off of working out, and like 4 months of not doing jack, and then come back and work out consistently for 2 months and be right back to where I was or a bit more within 2 months. And so, and people ask why I'm not afraid of losing muscle while dieting so harshly. And that's why, because it comes back.
Yeah, I think I talked about this last week when my buddy ripped his bicep tendon. He'd been training for 15 years. His arm shrunk up like crazy. It looked like a little girl's arm. And then 6 months later, after it healed, he was right back to the full size. So his arm came all the way back to the size it was after 15 years of training. So, mm-hmm. You know, what does that mean? Like people think they can lose. You just can't lose muscle mass the way. And even no matter how much your muscles atrophy from, you know, from like something like an injury or it being in a cast, it comes back. So if you're eating low calorie and you feel like you're losing muscle mass, you're actually probably just in a lower water hydration state. You're not really losing muscle mass. They're just sort of less inflated.
Right. You know what's something funny? I forgot to mention this. So, you know, I was working out the other day and my buddy, he just got finished competing, and I think he's about 5'9". And I asked him how much he weighed, and I said, how much you weigh right now? About 180? And he is a tank, son. I mean, this dude is a tank. I mean, he's cranked. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, his arms are easily probably 2 to 3 times the size of mine, it looks like. I mean, legs. I mean, he showed me pictures of his back. I mean, dude, he is just, it's out of control.
So he's a bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah. 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 And just a tank, man. Looks like, if you could picture like a tank fullback or something.
Do you have a picture? Can we put it up on the...
I'll ask him if I can get a picture or whatever, because it's interesting. But yeah, he's about 5'9", 180, and which is funny because I was like, you know, I'm 5'11", or he might be 5'8", or whatever. I think I maybe got 3 inches on him or something. But, you know, 180, and I'm basically 180, and he has dramatically more muscle than I do at the same weight. I mean, it's night and day. Like, we'd stand beside each other, and I'm not small by any means, but it just goes to show how much height has to do with it.
Well, yeah, but and he can't do that without drugs, though.
Sure. Well, that was the other thing too, is we were laughing, joking around, or whatever. Because I don't care. I mean, he's a really cool guy, and I mean, I don't care what he does. I mean, as long as he's making him happy, that's great. And you know, he wasn't too happy with where he placed, and he was like, yeah, I need to add a little bit more on my frame. And I was like, damn, son. I was like, what are you going to do? And he says, well, I got a plan. And, you know, and I know what that meant.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean I'm changing my workout. It means I'm going to gear up more.
Yeah, and guys don't understand this. So the only way guys that are using gear, testosterone, steroids, whatever you want to call it, get bigger is by using more. It's not that they're training differently than you or I. They're actually not even following a really well-designed training program at all. They're just kind of hacking their way through it. They just need more gear. It's like a linear relationship. The more testosterone you use, the bigger you get, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see like a bodybuilding show, all you're seeing is a bunch of guys who are crazy enough to take more and more drugs. And at the top level, you're just comparing the few guys in the world who have thrown caution to the wind and will take as much drugs as they could possibly fit in them. And that's it. That's all you're looking at. I mean, you're not looking at people who know how to train any better than you. You're not looking at people who know how to eat any better than you. You're looking at people who are perfectly happy just filling themselves with as much drugs as possible. And, you know, good for them. They're interesting. They're at least freak shows worth looking at because they're freak shows. And we all like – it's kind of like going to the circus. Mm-hmm. But that's all you're looking at. You're not looking at somebody who really understands training or really understands nutrition or really understands – what they understand is how much drugs cost, how to get them, and how much to take.
Sure.
And that's it. There's nothing else to say about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask him about his diet too. When he was cutting down, I'll probably ask him about that tomorrow. Just kind of get a handle on how little he was eating. But
they understand diet. I mean, those guys will diet. Like, I mean, it's discipline, right? Those guys will diet right down because they'll take a 16-week run at it, and they'll just keep eating less and keep eating less until they get to where they got to get to.
Sure. But I guess that's the thing is I want – even with everything that, you know, he was on. And like I say, if I can get a picture of him or whatever, you know, I'll put it up. I mean, he's a cool dude. But, you know, even with him doing all that he was doing as big as he got and, you know, at the end of the day at 180, I think actually he got down to like 174 or something. But, you know, I guarantee you he was still in that 1,200 to 1,400 calories a day diet or less. Even on that stuff.
When you know, that stuff doesn't change your basal metabolic rate or anything. Unless they're dosing like T3 and some other stuff. Like a guys I know will use, like it gets a little crazy. I don't know if we've gotten into this, but guys I know certain guys who will use testosterone, various derivatives of testosterone, like different kinds. But they'll also use insulin and GH all at the same time.
And that's going up, right?
What do you mean?
That's bulking, right?
Well, kind of, but the GH also helps them burn some fat because that's kind of what GH does, right? So, dosing it sort of all together, which is really weird because your normal metabolism, insulin and GH are antagonistic. They're not usually peaking at the same time. Like when you're low on one, you're high on the other and vice versa. So GH is when you're not eating and you're sort of in the fasted state. And I don't mean a 24-hour fast. I just mean even, you know, 5-6 hours after you eat, as your insulin drops, GH starts to rise. So that's a consistent thing that goes on the longer you stay, like, not eating. And GH causes your fat cells to release free fatty acids and they burn. So I don't even know how they go about dosing it because if you eat and dose GH at the same time, because now you have – That means you'd end up with high insulin and high GH at the same time, which kind of – your body would never normally do that, so it's kind of weird. So I don't know that there's a whole lot of research on what those guys do because they're just sort of dosing everything all the time. But, you know, he says it keeps them lean, so I can't tell him it's not.
Right.
And it's not anything we can think of how it would necessarily work in a normal person. So we're kind of – keep in mind wherever we're talking about how any of these hormones work, we're always talking in a non-drug user. Like drug users, that's a different story. Things are different. So when people talk about like how those things work, and when they hear about people using them, that's not how your body uses it. Like when you dose it separately, now there's a whole different thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, like when you're talking about like an insulin spike from eating is totally different than an insulin spike from injecting. I mean, we're talking orders of magnitude, I would imagine.
Well, not even how much, but the state that you're doing it in. Like, if you just dose yourself with insulin, but you haven't eaten.
Oh, you'll go into a coma.
Yeah, you'll pass. But that's what these guys do. Like, I don't even know how they know how much to take and when to take it.
Yeah.
Like diabetics know. If you mess it up, it messes them up fast. So these guys could make themselves diabetic by doing it.
Sure. And then you know, a lot of times what they take, like clenbuterol and even thyroid hormone and all this other stuff.
Yeah, thyroid and clenbuterol to try to cut up. So, we're kind of transitioning here, but this is why you don't use fitness models or bodybuilders as anyone you want to model yourself after, because this is what they have. They're using some unknown mix of all of these things to get in the shape you see them in magazines and stuff. So unless you know them personally and you use the exact same source of stuff they use, you can't actually expect to ever look like them. Ooh. What you would need to do I don't say compare yourself to anybody, but if you're going to try to find a model, you'd have to find somebody who has the same height as you, the same more or less genetic starting material, so an endo, ecto, or meso, and the same drug use or lack of drug use. So if you don't want to use drugs, you have to find somebody who you know for sure doesn't use them.
Right.
So that really narrows down the field of people you can find who aren't in your immediate life, like people who you know personally.
Sure.
Because even just the dude across the gym who looks like he's in real good shape, you don't know. Unless you know him, you just don't know. You don't know what he uses.
Yeah, there are a couple of guys that I've like looked at and I've kind of suspected one way or another, but you really don't know a lot of times because, you know, some guys don't take enough for you to actually, you know.
It's not obvious, yeah.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't be obvious. I mean, they might have just started dabbling in it or whatever. I mean, they really haven't jumped up. It's not like some guys that all of a sudden –
Well, they just blow up and you can tell, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, damn, dude. But, you know, the other funny thing about it, too, is that you're taking advice from someone. Like, let's say, for lack of a better term, I mean, from what I've heard from you and Brad is that as a big collective of hormones and stuff like that, nobody really knows exactly how everything plays out. They can look at like localized events and kind of speculate based on that, but then you got to take that over to somewhere else and take that to somewhere else. But then you get some, so you don't, not only do you not really know that, but then you take somebody else who's pumping in all this other stuff, and there's no research in any way being done on this guy, and then he's going to give you advice or whatever, which is fine. But man, then you really got no idea. Not only do you not know before, but now you really don't know, because who knows what this cocktail is doing? It works, but
nobody really knows how.
Yeah.
And the stuff that you got to remember, since you're not buying these drugs like from a pharmacy or something, half of them could be fake. Half of them could not have the drug they say they have in them. So guys who buy testosterone are just hoping that the guy who's selling it to him is being truthful.
Right.
Like that the thing he bought is, like, for instance, you know, for the most part, there's going to be something in it. Like, some guys completely get taken advantage of, and they just buy like a bunch of bottles of oil, and there's nothing in them at all. But then they won't gain any muscle, and then they'll never buy from that guy again. So I mean, it doesn't make sense for anybody to just completely rip people off. So what they'll do is they'll cut it. So some guys will sell you, like, if they say it's 200 milligrams, it's only like 100. So like you get a little bit of a gain, but you should have got more. Or you'll pay premium because you think it's DECA, but it's actually just like test. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, DECA is like $27 a shot, but test is like 13 or something. So they've made like way more money on you on a cheaper product that's in there. So it's like all that kind of stuff goes on too. So guys who say they're on like X, Y, and Z, they can only, you know, that's an assumption that the stuff they bought's real, or has the drug they said it in, that was said to be in it, and B, at the dose it says it has. So those are a lot of assumptions to make when you're buying stuff like that way.
Yeah.
So you don't know. There's no way of validating it. So, I mean, I suppose you could take it and send it to the company that it, I know I've, and we've done this. So the company that sells the drug, if you have one of a bottle of whatever they, you know, it says it's theirs, you can send the bottle that you bought, or at least a sample of the bottle you bought, back to the whatever the host company is, and be like, hey, is this legit? Is this your product, or is this a counterfeit? And they'll run a test for you. But the problem is now you don't have it anymore. You've sent it to them. So you'd actually need to buy an extra bottle of the stuff that you're buying on the black market, send one bottle back to the original company to see if it's legit. Now, that's only if it's coming from a main company. Nowadays, and this is kind of past my time, I don't really understand it anymore, but from what I'm hearing nowadays, a lot of drugs are built in like at-home labs and like new labs. So back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, most of the steroids on the black market were stolen or counterfeited from like major pharmaceutical companies. So you'd recognize this pharmaceutical company name. You'd be like, oh, that's a huge major pharmaceutical company. Nowadays, you're getting it from like at-home labs where they order in the raw materials and build them themselves.
Yeah.
So that means that they're not necessarily to pharmaceutical grade standard for the processing, right? Because that's just some made up kind of out of a guy's basement lab.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's like there was a couple guys in the, you know, way back, maybe 4 years ago, and they were talking about taking Fenna, and I don't know a lot about it, but you know, he was talking about how he made it at home, and I was like, what the hell? So I kind of looked it up, and basically all this guy did was get some type of horse steroid from a vet. They would give like horses or whatever. I think, I'm not sure if this is it, but he would take it home. He would break it down. There was some type of filtration process or whatever, and a couple of things he would do, and it would like basically like filter out in liquid form, and that's what he would inject.
Oh yeah, you can look up websites where guys they're like using literally like coffee filters to filter stuff. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So and that's the issue when you're buying stuff on the black market. You don't know the quality of the stuff, and it's not like you can, like, there's not a whole lot of recourse. Like if you get screwed when you buy something, who do you go talk to? What do you go talk to? Report them to the Better Business Bureau? They can't do that.
You better have a gun.
Yeah, well, basically, it's like buyer beware, and it's just a different kind of it's just a different kind of market. So you kind of have to be savvy in that market and know what you're doing.
Well, and then of course you're getting where are you getting instructions from? You know, if you go on any basic website or whatever you find, and you kind of take the word for it, and you go for it, and guess what? You're getting ready to dump that stuff in your body. Who the hell knows? There's no recourse there either. I mean, it could be, this is even worse. Check this out. So this is kind of funny. Like, as far as looking up stuff online, here's kind of another buyer beware thing, and I'm going to tell you why all of this stuff matters and why we're actually going this deep in just a second. But okay, so I did a search for something the other day, and a bodybuilding.com site came up. Oh, no, I was doing a search based on our last blog post to see, you know, where it ranked in the search engines for the phrase, what causes muscle growth. And, you know, like number one was like a bodybuilding.com article. And so I clicked on it, and this article was like from 2003, right? And so I go through and I'm reading the article or whatever. And then I click on the guy's link that wrote the article, you know, because I want to see who this guy is. Well, his link doesn't work. So basically, there are articles out there right now written by people who were supposedly experts, but they're not even experts anymore.
You can't track them down, yeah.
Yeah, you can't track them down. So it's like, that's the only bad thing about the internet is that you can get outdated information and not even know it.
And that article could be reprinted a bunch of times, and you could read it on a different site and not realize that guy's like sort of out of the game or just not part of it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's like he came up with this theory, and rest assured, a lot of this stuff is theory, man. He came up with this theory, you know, did some stuff, figured out it didn't work, and said, you know what, screw this, I'm out. But nobody updated the site to say, oh, yeah, by the way, this dude's out of the game.
Oh, yeah, so some newbie could come along, read it, and be like, oh, this is, you know, not bother checking the source, and, you know,
right.
Off he goes with some bad information.
Sure, and think about that when let's say you're looking up steroid stuff or looking up fat loss stuff or how to do this or how to do that. I mean, you have no idea what you're getting into. All the recent stuff, you know, what you think is recent and new could be 5, 6, 7 years old, a theory that some dude just kind of blew out of his ass because he saw a piece of research that he wanted to push, and now he's off doing something else. He doesn't even give advice in this niche or in bodybuilding or anything anymore. I mean, he basically thought he had a trick, and next thing you know, trick's still out. It's still there. You know, and then the other thing too that's kind of weird is that, you know, guys will come up with theories, and then, you know, a couple years later they'll refute their own theory. They'll say, you know what, I was wrong. But the bad part about it is that because of the nature of the internet, you can't go back and change all of your articles because they're everywhere, man.
Yeah, there's a long tail. There's a long tail on the internet. It doesn't go away.
Right. So okay. So what's the point? I guess the
yeah. Let's wrap this up.
Let's basically what we're showing you right now, and we didn't mean to, but what we're showing you is how starting with one goal, and let's say proportions are looking better, can take you. Going down the dark hole, just taking a certain process. So starting here and saying your goal is this, how easy it is to transition to down this hole and not even realize you're going down this hole.
You start off just wanting to look better, and then it which is basically based on proportions, and then it quickly turns into how heavy do I need to be, which
how
turns
much can
into
I bench?
Which then how much do you bench, and then how much do you, you know, then how much do you weigh versus how strong you are, then it just gets completely out of hand, and then you try to equate muscle to weight, and then at, you know, years, and then the training programs, and then supplements and nutrition, and all along it was just, I just wanted to look better. Like, how did I get all the way into all of this?
Right, and then next thing you know, if you really go down the dark hole, you've done all this other stuff, spent all this money on gear and all this other stuff, which is, don't get me wrong, which is totally fine if that's what you want to do and you want to compete or whatever, but if that's not your goal, if your goal was just to look better and get more respect and have people admire you and stuff like that in the beginning, and I understand goals change, that's fine, but
is it really the goal you had, or did you get and kind of just get caught up?
Sure. I mean, if you look back, you know, 2-3 years later, can you look back and go, damn, I got off track, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it happens all the time.
Lots of people. I think it's happened to all of us at some point where we've got sure. caught up just like doing a style of training or got more interested in because it's kind of like we just know we're supposed to go to the gym, but we just don't know like really what we're doing there. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're trying to refocus people. That's what sort of, what's yeah. the point of the ratio in the first place?
Sure. And it happens all the way around. It's like even in dating relationship advice or whatever. I mean, you start out with a guy who just wants a girlfriend. Next thing you know, he's trying to be a full-fledged pickup artist. And that all he wants to do is go into bars and, like, do one-night stands. And then he starts getting this this real negative view of women because the only women he's hanging out with are the ones that give him one-night stands.
And who bite on his BS lines and stuff that he's learned from a book.
Right, and he thinks his game is basically no better than kind of construction worker game where basically he just goes and talks to as many people as he can and somebody will finally bite.
Oh yeah, it's carpet bombing. It's like you just sure. if you hit on enough girls, one of them is going to be drunk enough. It's kind of like that scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin where yeah. they're trying to teach him how to pick up, and they're like telling him how to pick out a girl, and he's mm-hmm. like drunk, preferably a little bit of puke in her hair.
Right, exactly. And then, but then the funny thing about it is that going down that dark hole like that, and not saying that that whole, type of community is a dark hole, but the more you get into it like that, what tends to happen is that you start associating yourself with women that are not very good. And so you started associating all women like that. Trust me, I've been there. I know. And it's the same thing when you, and then you look back, you're like, damn, man, all I wanted was a cool girl. And now all I've got is like,
A series of one night stands with girls I don't want to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. They're blowing up my phone, and I don't even want to talk to them ever again. Yeah.
You know, and so same thing happens with fitness. You can start yeah. off just wanting to look good, and you end up like doing training you never wanted to do, and you could go the other direction and end up on steroids where you kind of never really thought you would, or don't even know why you are, or you're doing functional training, you're bulking, you're cutting, like all of these effed up things when all you wanted to do is look a bit better.
Yeah. So that's if there was a moral to the story, I guess.
Stay on track.
Kinda, yeah, we circled around, we went deep, and we kind of are coming back home and kind of relating in a bunch of ways. But realistically, I mean, that's it, man. Just make sure you know where you want to go, and that's why it's kind of important to actually write down your goals, because you can look and be like, all right, is what I'm doing relative to that goal I've got in front of my face right now? And if it's not, then you reevaluate that. I mean, what's the real goal? You start with the real goal, and then you can go on like your sub goals or whatever. I mean, it's like
your strength and stuff like that can be within it, but you always have to come back and see where you're actually headed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So
I even said we weren't going to do this, and we still ended up like this.
What do you mean?
Well, I just didn't want this one to finish with goals, but it seems like it's always an important thing.
Well, yeah. Well, it's not really finishing up with goals, so to say. It's just kind of, proportions are where people really want to be. There's a reason why things are structured the way they're structured. There's a reason why it's funny. I mean,
okay, let me finish up. This is what I wanted to. This is where I was actually trying to get to.
Everything we do has a reason behind it, and it's funny. It's not put together like just randomly.
No, it isn't. I think this is why we always end up on the same thing.
Right.
And so the point was proportions have been and always will be the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about being heavier. It's not about being stronger. It's about being proportioned. Those other things will always fit into it. And as soon as you let those other things take over, then the proportions get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep, that's basically it. I got nothing else other than, we could start off another rant, but I don't think we want to.
No, I think we're good for today.
Cool, man. All right, we got anything else?
No, man, I think that's it.
All right, cool, man. All right, guys, well, like I say, for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and this was your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.